I'd rather be.
Good. Because it's ours. She turns, looking up at me.
What do you mean it's ours?
I own it.
You own this hut?
Yes, and the whole island it sits on. Her eyes widen like she doesn't believe me. The island isn't giant, but it's a nice size.
Miles pays good, but not that good,
she counters. I smile. Miles pays more than good, actually. I was smart with my money. I invested in almost everything Miles told me to, and it paid. Big time. I made sure I put it in the right places, and I don't spend much, unless you count this little island.
Little island? She laughs. That's fine, Captain, because I love shoes, and I'll spend the shit out of your money for you.
As long as you get to fuck you while you wear them. You'll never hear me complain. Besides, it's half yours now. Hell, it's all hers if you ask me. The only reason I ever invested money because I had an endgame to make her mine and I knew families cost money. I needed to build a life for us. Make sure I could give her anything and everything she dreamed of.
Hmm,
she wiggles her eyebrows.
How about nothing at all?
She rubs her naked body against mine.
If you own this island, does that mean I could jump in like this?
She breaks from my grasp, walking toward the sliding doors. I watch as she pulls them open and steps onto the deck and into the sunshine. I let her, knowing there isn't anyone else on the island. There won't be for the next 2 weeks. It will be only her and me.
Oh, there's a boat.
She lifts her hand to wave, and I'm on her in a blink of an eye, pulling her back to the hut. She breaks out in a fit of giggles, and I quickly realize she was fucking with me. There's no boat. I growl. I throw her over my shoulder, carry her to the bed, and toss her onto it. The laughing stops, and a look of lust crosses her face. She crawls backward on the bed, licking her lips. When she gets to the headboard, she lets her legs open, my cum still coating her, tempting me with her pussy, making my mouth water. I want her to taste me all over again. It's been too long since I've had my mouth between her legs. You like to get me worked up? I ask. I already know the answer. She gets off on this shit. It's a good thing my jealousy and caveman tendencies make her wet, or we could have problems. I'm not sure there's something I can control. Not with her. I put one hand on the bed and watch her breathing pick up. I reach out, grabbing her ankle, pulling her down and back to me. When I get her where I want her, I flip her over, landing one smack to her ass. She moans, sticking her ass even more into the air. And as if overcome with need, she parts her legs a little more. She looks over her shoulder at me, and I wrap my hand around my cock. I pump my fist up and down, and she licks her lips. She pushes her ass back even more, wanting it, wanting me. I missed a spot, I tell her. I didn't mark her ass well enough. If you're going to try to get me worked up, then I'm going to have to coat you with me. I won't have to worry if I marked every inch of you. That's a lie. I always worry about someone trying to take her from me. Who wouldn't try to take her? She's fucking perfect in every way.
Maybe you should mark me on the inside.
She pushes her ass out even more, and I have to bite back a smile. I keep stroking myself, and she narrows her eyes on my hand. A flash of jealousy flares as she watches me pleasure myself. She doesn't like that my hand is getting to do the work. I should keep going teasing her, but the truth is, I want to give her everything. I kneel on the bed, dropping over her. I plant my fists on either side of her, and then slide my cock right into her. We both moan together. I put my mouth on her neck, sucking and licking just like she likes. I don't stop making love to her until every part of her has been marked by me.
32. Page. 3 months later. There's a small knock on the door, and I open my eyes to see Vivian, Miles's mother, coming into the living room. I've been so sick the past 2 days that I've stayed on the couch, and now I look around at the mess I've made and feel embarrassed. You look like shit, she says, and I laugh. I make a move to get up, but she holds out her arms to stop me. Don't get up. I simply wanted to come by and check on you. I'm going to get you sick, I say as I watch her walk over to me and sit down on the coffee table. She reaches out and brushes a strand of hair out of my eyes. Miles told me you were homesick, so I thought I'd see if there was anything you needed. He said you made Ryan go to work. She smiles, and it fills my heart up with warmth. Last week, Captain got sick with a stomach flu, and he was down for the count for a couple days. I, being the incredible wife I am, nursed him back to health, but then the bastard gave it to me. I was in bed for a couple days, wearing a path to the bathroom. But even after the worst was over, the sickness is lingering and keeping me down. He keeps hovering while I lie here and die. I want to do it in peace, I joke, rolling onto my side. The past few months of married life have been wonderful. Captain and I have not only bonded unlike anything I ever knew possible, but I've gained a whole family along with it. We have dinners during the week with Miles and Mallory, and Vivian always invites us over for Sunday brunch. She knows the key to my heart is in my belly. Vivian has opened up to me, and it's been the kind of relationship I always dreamed of. She was nice to me before, but I had my defenses up. But since Captain tore down my walls, I've been unable to put any back. And Vivian slipped in. She gives me the tender mothering that I never had, even from my own mother. Sometimes I feel guilty about how much I enjoy it, but I know that deep down my mother would want me to have this, to have someone give me what she wasn't able to. Vivian stopping by today is another reason why having her in my life is truly a blessing, because there's nobody like a mom when you're sick. Well, I thought I'd bring you by something to make you feel better. I don't know that I've ever uttered these words, but I don't think I can eat. Vivian laughs and shakes her head, reaching in her bag and pulling out a package. She hands it to me, and I take it. I look at the box and feel a shot of anger. I'm not pregnant, I say, handing the box back to her. I'm annoyed at the woman on the front of the box, thinking how much I hate her. My periods have always been irregular, but I never worried about it before. Captain and I got back from our honeymoon and went at it like horny bunnies, thinking that any day now I'd be knocked up. After a month of trying, I went to the doctor, and they ran some tests. He said there was just a very slim chance, with my history and body size, that I'd be able to conceive, or carry a baby full term, especially with Captain's size, and knowing how big a baby of his might be. It was a devastating blow, and one I hadn't told Captain about. He knew I went to the doctor, but he didn't push when I wouldn't explain. I knew that eventually we'd have to have that talk, but I've been putting it off, unable to voice it out loud. Vivian reaches out and squeezes my shoulder. Get up and take the test. Her voice is stern, and I have a glimpse of what it was like for Miles growing up, when his mother told him to do something. There's no room for argument in her tone, and I get up, taking the box to the bathroom with me. I figure if anything, I'll indulge her and get it over with. She doesn't know about my body or the fact that I can't get pregnant, but I don't say any of that. When I'm finished peeing on the stick and cleaning up afterward, I open the bathroom door to find Vivian on the other side, waiting. She follows me back to the living room, where I fall back down on the covers, and she buzzes around the place, cleaning up. I tell her not to, but she shrugs it off and goes back to clearing up my tissues and the blankets that are scattered about. It feels good having someone else there to take care of me. Captain does a great job, but he hovers over me like I'm going to break out with a deadly case of malaria any second. His worry only makes me worry, and it does me no good. But it feels like Vivian's got this under control. At some point, I close my eyes, and a little while later, wake to the scent of chicken soup, and my stomach growls. Vivian walks over with the tray, and I sit up on the couch as she puts it in my lap. There's a cup of chicken broth on there, with two ginger cookies and a mug of something that smells hot and sweet. Thank you. I think I'm actually hungry now. You must have the magic touch, I say, reaching for a cookie. You're welcome. When I was pregnant with Miles, I was so sick. I thought I had a stomach flu, too. The only things I could keep down were ginger cookies and chicken broth. She looks at me sweetly, and I roll my eyes. I let out a sigh and try not to sound like an asshole. I can't get pregnant. The doctor said it would be almost impossible. I shrug, eating the second cookie. Damn, these things are good. She nods, but keeps smiling and watches me eat. When I finished, she hands me the hot tea, telling me to sip it. It warms my belly as it goes down, and I feel 1,000 times better after the small meal. I watch as Vivian grabs her bag and sets a small box of cookies in front of me. You might want to hang on to these, she says, placing the pregnancy test on top of them. Then she leans forward, presses a kiss on the top of my head, and walks out the front door. Excitement creeps in as I set down my mug of tea and hesitantly glance at the test. Then my nose burns as tears start to pool in my eyes and my vision blurs.
33. Ryan. I walk through the lobby of our apartment building, waving at Chuck at the front desk. I left work early, even though I know Paige will probably be pissed at me coming home to check on her, but I'm worried.
Hello, Ryan.
I hear Vivian's voice and turn my head to see her exit the elevator. Her boyfriend Tom gets up from a lobby chair and walks over to join her. She and Tom started dating right after Mallory and Miles got engaged. Mallory likes to tell everyone who will listen that it was all her doing. I smile at them, walking over and shaking hands with Tom. Vivian gives me a kiss on the cheek. I look out front to see her security waiting. I assumed when I saw them that she was here to see Miles or Mallory. It's strange she's coming during the day, though. What brings you here? I ask.
I had stopped by to drop something off. I heard Paige was sick, so I wanted to check on her.
Makes me happy that she and Paige have been able to form a bond, and I think it gives them each something they were missing. Peace and comfort. We need to hurry if we're going to make that lesson, Tom says, placing his hand on Vivian's lower back.
Hope you've got on your dancing shoes, she says, winking at him. Tonight's class is the samba.
She wiggles her shoulders and leans into him as we say our goodbyes. I walk over and hit the button for the elevator, waiting for it to go up and see my wife. I'm glad Vivian was able to check on her, but I need to see her for myself. She had this virus for a lot longer than I did, so maybe it's time to go to the doctor. I'm hoping if I can get to her early enough, we can get her in today before they close. I know that's what's been wrong with her the past few days, but I could tell something else is bothering her, too. A few weeks ago she went to the doctor, but she won't tell me what's wrong. I know she's disappointed we didn't get pregnant right away, but sometimes it takes a while. And so what if we don't have kids? I want to be with her forever, and having children or not having children doesn't change that. If she wants them bad enough, I'll make it happen. We'll adopt or have a surrogate. Whatever she wants is what I'll give her. End of discussion. I don't know if that's what her doctor's appointment was about, but I know Paige. Something's bugging her. But I know I can't push her. She'll tell me when she's ready, and when she is, we'll work through it. Together. I ride the elevator up to our floor. We moved all my stuff up there, including the Paige shrine, as she likes to refer to it, as soon as we got home from our honeymoon. I open the door and see Paige sitting in the living room with her head in her hands, sobbing. I run over to her and kneel at her side, rubbing her back. Kitten, what is it? Tell me what's wrong. Do I need to take you to the hospital? She pulls back her hands and I see her smiling from ear to ear, tears rolling down her face.
I'm not sick. I'm pregnant.
I look to her lap and see the pregnancy test there. Two bright blue lines staring back at me. Suddenly, I'm pulling Paige into my arms and kissing her so fiercely that it's almost like the first time. I'm so happy. I love you so much. I say when I finally break from her lips, moving my mouth down her neck. Turning her, I lay her on the couch and push her shirt up, kissing her belly.
And I love you too, baby.
Paige laughs and clings to me. I kiss her all over this time, her belly, her arms, her legs, anywhere I can get my mouth on her. I'm relieved she doesn't have a life-threatening virus, and that she's been sick because she's having our baby.
Why didn't you tell me?
I ask, looking into her dark blue eyes.
I just found out,
she says, smiling at me, when I shake my head and she sees my meaning. I'm disappointed because I know there's more to this than she's letting on. I can read Paige easily. She shrugs.
I was scared we might not ever be able to have kids. I didn't want to say it out loud because that meant it was real. I didn't want to worry you.
Paige, I love you. My life is with you, in good times and in bad. We share all the burdens together, right?
Right,
she says and wraps her arms around my neck. I can't stop myself from kissing her as I pick her up in my arms and carry her to bed.
This calls for celebration sex, I say, and she laughs.
When we make love, it's soft and sweet. We both smile while we kiss. It's like we can't believe we've gotten to this next step, and it's both exciting and scary. Afterward, when we've each exhausted the other, I hold her and we talk about the future. Our future. A life before us with all the possibilities we ever dreamed of. A world where our love is all that matters. It's paradise, and I plan on giving it all to her. Because she's mine and mine alone.
Epilogue. Paige. 4 months later. God, this little boy is going to be a giant, Mal says, rubbing her hand over my belly as she stands to the side of the exam table. Captain stands at the other side, one hand locked with mine, his thumb rubbing my wrist. I bite my lip to keep from smiling. Today we find out the sex, and both Captain and Mal think it's a boy. And maybe it is, but what they don't know is that there are two babies. I'd worried about telling anyone that I was having twins. I was already told I was unlikely to get pregnant. They worried about Captain's size compared to mine, and my small body carrying his baby. I was scared, and I knew everyone else would be too. But the doctor told me if I could get to the second trimester, then everything should be smooth sailing. I've passed the mark, and now I'm nearing the third. I can't believe how fast it's flown by. Everything's looking great, and I'm ready to tell them my little surprise. I'm nearly bursting with it. You're almost as big as me, and I'm months ahead of you. Mal looks down at her own baby belly. She's having a little boy. We thought it would be nice to have two boys who could play together, but Captain's always wandering toward the little girl's stuff when we go into the baby sections. I know he secretly wants a little girl, but he won't say it. I'm not sure I'll know how to handle a girl, but seeing how much he wants one makes me want one too. It could be a girl, Captain counters. His free hand slides into my hair. Your eyes and hair, she'd be my little angel. Daddy's little girl. I can see him playing it out in his head. She would definitely be spoiled. Captain would be so fucked. She'd have him so wrapped around her finger. Then she better have your personality, because I'm no angel. I tease him. It would be cute to see a little girl like him. She's too big for it to be a girl. It has to be a boy, and he's clearly going to be a giant like his father. Mal nods like her words are facts that can't be argued. I am gigantic, but I've been trying to stay on top of it, eating right and walking now that I'm too big to run. I've even started doing some yoga. I'll do anything to make sure this pregnancy goes right. The doctor steps into the room at that moment, a bright smile on her face. She's been just as excited to tell everyone it's twins. Only she and I know. How is our mom-to-be doing? She asks, heading over to the sink to wash her hands. We're good, Mal answers for both of us, making the OBGYN laugh. She happens to be her doctor as well. She demanded we go to the same one, not giving me a choice. Not that I put up a fight when the doctor is the best in New York. I knew I was high risk, so I wasn't playing around. Come tell Paige she's having a baby boy already so we can go. I shake my head at her. Yes, please tell me what I'm having so I can get some lunch. These two are killing me. They haven't fed me all day. I lie. I literally just ate breakfast. But I'm eating for five. Well, it feels like I'm eating for five anyway. You're hungry? Captain asks. He stops playing with my hair, and a concerned look crosses his face. I'm always hungry. Keep petting me, I snap. Sorry, I add, and he laughs. I get snippy when I'm hungry. I also cry all the time for no good reason whatsoever. I'm turning into Mallory. All right, let's see what we've got here. The doctor walks over to Mal's side of the bed, and Mal reluctantly moves out of her way, coming to stand by my head while the doctor opens my gown and starts putting the gel on me. When the monitor touches my belly, the whole room goes quiet as their heartbeats fill the room. Oh my God, Mal says, and I know she sees it. I can hear it in her voice, and I know she's crying. I stare at Captain's face. He's looking at me until Mal sniffs, then his eyes snap to the screen. Is something wrong? I can hear the panic in his voice, and I grip his hand a little tighter. I don't like that he's scared. Captain is never scared. No, big guy. There's just two of them, I tell him. His eyes come back to me, but the panic doesn't disappear. He's been so worried about me and the baby, and now there are two to fret over. One more person for him to be concerned about.
Is she okay? I thought... Fuck, can she handle two?
His voice is filled with both fear and awe. He wants this, but not at the cost of it hurting me. Everything looks fine, the doctor declares. Both these baby girls are right on track, and the tests I've gotten back show Paige is doing better than fine. She's in great shape, and she's keeping herself and the babies healthy. She's not the first tiny woman to carry twins, she assures him.
Two little girls, Captain says,
staring at the screen now. Then his eyes come back to mine again, and I can see they're filled with tears.
Let's give them a moment, I hear the doctor say as she wipes the gel from my stomach.
I can't take my eyes off Captain. Watching everything pass over his face is beautiful. He leans down, putting his forehead to mine.
You're giving me two little girls.
He says it again, like he can't believe that I would grant him this wish. I would give this man anything I could, anything in my power, and maybe even beyond. He makes me whole and happier than I ever thought I could be. I want to do the same for him. You put them there, I smile up at him, feeling my own tears form.
I'm going to be so good to you and our family. I promise, Paige.
There is so much determination behind his words, and I know he means it. He will be an incredible father. Ryan, I sink my fingers into his hair. You're already so good to me and these girls. He is. This man would do anything for me and our babies. It shows in everything he does. I've never doubted you would be the perfect father and husband. That's why I was so sad when I thought we couldn't have babies, because I know how good you will be at it. I also know these girls will come into this world knowing what a man should be like. I don't know how they will ever find husbands of their own with a father as perfect as you.
They aren't having husbands, he growls
before taking my lips in a kiss. His tongue slides into my mouth, lazy and sweet, and I know when we get home I'm going to attack him. He lets go of my hand and slides his palm over my belly. I feel one of the girls give a little kick. I debate if I want to get lunch first or just eat him. When he deepens the kiss, I know my answer. I'm definitely going to have him.
It's twins! Two little girls!
I hear screaming outside the room, and I know Mal is losing it on Miles, who's been out in the waiting room. I can picture her trying to jump up and down and Miles freaking out and trying to get her to sit down. I start laughing, breaking the kiss.
You think I was bad before? I'm not sure I'm going to let you out of our bed now, Captain says,
and I know he's talking about bed rest. But if he's in bed with me, I won't be able to resist. I rub his hard cock through his jeans. I wonder if it's from the kiss or my belly being out. Something about seeing me pregnant gets my caveman all worked up. Sounds good to me.
Epilogue. Ryan. 5 years later.
Ninja Turtles! Princess and her fairies.
Ninja Turtles!
Princess and her fairies, and you pick the snacks,
Penelope says to Pandora. Pandora narrows her eyes like she's thinking over, but we all know she's going to pick the snacks option. She tucks one of her red curls behind her ear, and she's never looked more like her mother.
Deal,
Pandora agrees. Penelope scrunches her little freckled button nose in a happy smile, then winks one of her deep green eyes at me. The girls look almost identical, but Pandora has Paige's eyes, whereas Penelope has mine. Their eyes and attitude are the only real way to tell them apart. Pandora is her mother through and through. Penelope is more girl than any of us can handle, but she seems to be able to manage us all too well. Just then, Paige comes strolling into the room. It takes everything I have to keep my ass planted on the sofa between my girls. She's got on some denim-looking thing that could be a short dress or a long shirt. I don't know which it is, but it's too fucking short. It looks almost indecent with her boots that go up over her knees, her lips are painted a deep red, and all her hair is piled up top of her head, showing her fucking neck. I want to growl at all that skin showing. She needs to put on a turtleneck and some jeans or something. Ever since she's had our girl, she's been dressing up a little more here and there, and the pregnancy only made her hotter. Her hips are a little wider now, and her breasts are a little fuller.
You look pretty, Mommy,
Penelope says. Thank you, sweetheart, she says in return, her gaze coming to me. She is not fucking going out in that. I don't give two fucks if it's girls' night and she and Mal will have two guards on them. What the... I stop myself before I can finish the sentence.
What the what, Daddy?
Pandora pushes, giving me a smirk. Little troublemaker. Paige walks over to the sofa and leans down to kiss Penelope on the head, and Pandora just giggles.
I love your shoes, Mommy,
Penelope adds. She can spend hours in Paige's closet trying on her heels. Sometimes she makes me sit there while she does it. She's going to keep me on my toes. Luckily, I have Pandora to keep my eye on her. Now I've got Henry, Miles, and Mallory's little boy as backup. He already gives the boys at the playground shit when they try to talk to my girls.
Well, I think your dress is just perfect, my little princess, Paige tells her.
Penelope smooths down her oversized dress. I think she might have more dress-up clothes than anyone has actual clothes around here.
Blue really is my color,
she tells Paige, making me laugh. Pandora just rolls her eyes, then looks at Penelope.
You'd better go change, because Daddy is taking us out.
Paige raises her eyebrows in question.
Oh!
Penelope claps excitedly.
Another secret mission!
Secret mission? Paige asks, taking a seat on the coffee table in front of us. My eyes go to her legs, unable to stop myself. Yeah, she's not going fucking anywhere in that dress shirt or whatever the fuck you call it.
Yeah, when you dress all pretty and go out with Aunt Mal, Daddy turns us into secret spies, and we follow you around. Sometimes...
My hand flies over Pandora's mouth.
I have the cutest spy outfit, Mommy. Do you want to see it?
Penelope jumps up from the sofa, ready for a wardrobe change. Paige narrows her eyes on me. I just shrug and let go of Pandora, who's giggling behind my hand, knowing full well what she's up to. That will teach me for not letting her have seconds of dessert.
Girls, why don't you give Mommy a kiss and go get your pajamas on before you start movie night?
Both girls do as Paige says, moving in for kisses and hugs.
I'll make pancakes in the morning, she tells them.
And bacon,
Pandora adds.
That's cute you think there wasn't going to be bacon,
Paige tells her.
I'm just double-checking.
Pandora puts her hand on her hip, and I shake my head. Paige grabs her, pulling her toward her, and starts to tickle her. Penelope steps back like she doesn't want to get involved in Chance wrinkling her dress.
All right, go change, Paige tells them,
sending them off down the hallway. Her eyes narrow on me again.
Something you want to tell me?
She barely finishes the sentence and I'm on her, picking her up and throwing her over my shoulder, turning to head down the other hallway that leads to our room. When we got a new place, I made sure the kids' rooms were on the other side of the house. My woman can get loud.
Put me down, you caveman!
Her little fist bangs on my back. I have a feeling you wanted me to go caveman or you wouldn't be trying to leave the house like this. I smack her ass, then slide my hand up under the dress, feeling that she's got only a thong on. She moans, proving my point. She wanted this reaction, and she's going to have to deal with it now. When we get to our room, I kick the door shut, flipping the lock. I toss her on the bed, and her legs fall open in an invitation. I stare down at her. Fuck. How does she keep getting more beautiful? She's so fucking perfect it hurts to look at her sometimes. As I see it, you have two options, I tell her as I start unbuckling my belt and pulling it from my pants. You can either let me mark your pussy and you'll wear my cum all night, or you can change your outfit.
Mark me,
she says without any hesitation. Her words come out breathy as I unbutton my pants. I pull my cock out, not bothering to take off my pants. I crawl over her and grab the front of the dress and pull. A ripping sound fills the room and I give her an evil grin. The dress is destroyed. She gasps and looks down at it. Oops. Guess you'll have to change, too, I say, without a hint of guilt. You! I cut her off and take her mouth in a deep kiss. I reach down and pull off her thong, the material no match for me. I want to get into her, and I'll destroy anything in my way. My cock easily finds her drenched opening, sliding right in. Her body arches into mine, and her moans of pleasure pour onto my mouth as I thrust into her, hard. By the time I'm done with her, she'll be feeling me with every move she makes, and there won't be a part of her that doesn't smell like me.
Epilogue. Paige. Another 13 years later.
I don't like it, Paige. Not one goddamn bit.
Captain paces back and forth as I sip my latte and try not to smile. It's late morning, and the girls have just left to get their nails and hair done for the prom tonight. I'm watching him wear a hole in the wooden floor when I hear Miles come in.
What's he all worked up about?
Miles asks, leaning over and giving me a kiss on my cheek. He walks over to the coffee maker, pours himself a mug, and sits down beside me. It's a bit comical, us sitting here, watching Captain Pace as we sip our coffees. Prom, I say by way of explanation.
Ah, I suppose Henry will be here tonight, too.
At the mention of this, Captain stops and glares at Miles, but then goes back to pacing. I have to bite my lip to keep from laughing. He's so pissed Miles doesn't have to worry about having a girl and dealing with boys coming around. The girls are so excited about tonight, but the three of us have kept it kind of a secret from their dad. It's not that we didn't want to tell him. It's just that we were avoiding the inevitable fit he would throw. So this morning I gave the girls some money and sent them with their Aunt Mallory for a day of beauty. I told them I would tell Captain while they were out and take one for the team. Yes, Mallory said he's coming over for pictures and he's bringing a date. Captain stops abruptly and turns to me.
Do the girls have dates?
Yes, Captain, I'm sorry, but they do. I can almost see the words hit him like a physical blow. And I don't know why, but I find it funny. Pandora is taking Skylar and Jamie's son, Zion, and Penelope is taking Ethan from down the street.
I knew that little fucker had been hanging around too much. Captain scowls.
Well, he does cut your grass, right?
Miles asks, and I elbow him. He's stirring the pot, and he knows it.
That's not the point. And what about Zion? Who the hell said Pandora could date him?
I get up and walk over to him, wrapping my arms around his waist.
You're so cute when you're angry, but it's their prom. You're going to have to give in, okay?
No, I don't have to do anything, Captain says, and I rest my head on his chest.
After a moment, he wraps his arms around me and lets out a deep breath.
They're still so little.
They're 18, and they'll both be off to college in the fall. We have to learn to let go, I say, looking up at him. And by we, I mean you.
He growls, and it vibrates against me. I go up on my tiptoes and kiss him on the chin, but it does nothing to cheer him up.
Come on, Captain, I'll take you out for ice cream after they leave.
You're only saying that because you want it, he mumbles, and it's adorable how much he's pouting.
You're right, but you like to give me what I want. And what I want is for the girls to go to prom with their dates and have a good time. I want them to have the experience without you coming in and taking over. Or worse, sulking in the corner all night.
Well, I feel bad for them, he says.
Why?
Because they're going to be mad when I have to stand between them and their dates in all the pictures. Maybe I should change my shirt.
He looks down at what he has on, like he's seriously considering changing to be in their prom photos.
You know, I could actually take them. That way they don't have to have dates.
Ryan, Miles says, and Captain looks over at him.
Remember, buddy, it's all about what we make them believe. Let them think they're going to have their fun tonight. I've got the car loaded up.
I look between the two of them, not understanding. But the smile that spreads across Captain's face is anything but innocent. Then it hits me. They're planning on sneaking out and following them.
God help those poor girls tonight. And those boys, if they lay a hand on them.
Epilogue. Ryan. 10 years after that.
Paige, where are you?
I walk through the house trying to find her, but she's not answering. I checked the tracker on her phone on my way home and saw she was here. I walk back to the living room and out to the back patio, thinking maybe she came outside. The sun has just set and we have reservations for dinner in an hour.
Kitten, you out here?
I call. I hear a splash and look over, seeing waves in the pool. Walking over to it, I get close to the edge and then I see her. Right before I'm about to ask her what she's doing, she splashes me and starts laughing.
You did not just do that, I say, looking down at her.
Oh, I think I did. And what are you going to do about it? She puts her arms on the edge of the pool and gives me a sassy grin.
We've got dinner in an hour, kitten. Or did you want me to come in there and drag you out?
She pushes away from the edge. And it's then I see she's completely naked. The light in the bottom of the pool creates an aura around her. I feel myself harden and I fist my hands at my sides.
You gonna stand there like goody-goody all night, Captain America? Or are you gonna come get me?
I see the way her breasts bounce in the water, her hard nipples begging for my mouth. She goes to the other side of the pool and grips the edge, arching her back. She's teasing me and she knows it.
Be careful what you wish for, kitten, I tell her.
I don't know why she thinks she has to bait me. She wants me somewhere. I'm fucking there. No matter where that is. Keeping my eyes on her, I undo my belt, pushing my jeans down my thighs. She licks her lips and I take my time, pulling off my shirt and then my boxer briefs. I go slow, letting her eyes roam all over me, seeing how hard I am for her, and letting her think of all the things this cock can do to her. All the possibilities I can offer. How I'll use it to pleasure her until she can no longer walk, and I'll have to carry her from the pool. Walking to the steps, I move slowly and let the anticipation build. When I get to them, I take one step down and then sit on the edge. The dry stone is under my ass while my legs are stretched out in the water in front of me. There are three more shallow steps in the pool, but this seat is perfect right now. Get over here, I say, leaving no room for misinterpretation. For a moment, I think she's going to give me back a sassy response or maybe even refuse. But she looks at me, and I can see the want in her eyes. The need. Paige has always liked to play that she doesn't like to be told what to do, but when it comes to sex, I always lay the path, and that gets her off. We both know it. We've been together so long that I know every thought that passes through her mind. The twins are all grown up and out of college. They've made good lives for themselves, and we don't have to worry. Well, worry as much. I think there's always a little of that in the back of any parent's mind. But Paige and I have stopped working, and we visit our island as often as we can. We spend most of our time traveling between there and home, and then to see the girls. Giving Paige the family she's always wanted, giving me the one I never knew I wanted until her. I can't think of any better way to live my life than being with Paige. Our lives are slow, and we savor all the little things, but she loves to throw in some spice every now and then just to keep me on my toes. I'd be lying if I said I didn't like it as much as she does. She brings all the laughter to this family, the heart of us all. She slowly swims over, putting on a little show of her own, baiting me as well. And when she gets up to me, she looks down at my lap and then back to my eyes. That's right, kitten. You're going to take care of it. Now come over here and climb on top. Maybe I want something else first. She licks her lips and my cock throbs. I grit my teeth as she slowly crawls up the steps. She exaggerates her movements and looks like a fucking sultry goddess coming to greet me. I'm only so strong, and I don't know how long I could keep from reaching out and grabbing her. She runs her hands up my legs and to the tops of my thighs as she pushes them open and then kneels in the water in front of me. She looks like a seductress with the sun lighting up her hair. She doesn't break eye contact as she leans down and opens her mouth, licking my cock from root to tip. Fuck. I hiss through clenched teeth and reach out, fisting her hair in one hand. You got 30 seconds before I pick you up and slam you down on my dick.
Then I've got time, she teases, winking at me, and then taking my cock into her mouth and to the back of her throat. The pure pleasure of it rocks through my body.
I moan at the feeling of her hot mouth on my cock, and I nearly come. I have to try to think of everything I can besides Paige on her knees in front of me, sucking me off and giving me pleasure. 22, 23, 24. I start counting because I don't know what else to do. I'm dying as the slick heat of her tongue works around my thick cock. Then she sucks the pearl of cum at the end, and I die. That's it. Time's up. I half shout as I pull her from her knees and onto my lap, needing to be inside her. I want to come in her pussy, not her mouth. I've got her legs spread, and I thrust my cock into her warm channel before she can even begin to protest. I hold her neck as I kiss, tasting some of my pre-release on her. The flavor of her makes me moan, and I use my free hand to grip her hip. I hold her steady as I move her on top of me, making her pussy milk my cock. Fuck, you know how to push my buttons, I say, thrusting in and out of her.
I like when you push mine, she moans, pressing her hard nipples into my chest.
I let go of her neck and move my hands between us and pet her clit. I know exactly how she likes it, and I don't play with giving her what she wants. I'm already so close to the edge I could go off any second, and I need her with me. You're out here swimming naked by yourself because you know that pisses me off. Then you splash me and pretend to get away. She lets out a cry of pleasure as I pinch her clit. You sucked my cock when you know exactly what that does to me. You pushed me, kitten. And now you're going to come all over me. I want your pussy to get me off. I lean forward and kiss her neck, then suck the tender place just below her ear. I want to leave a mark on her because I know she'll love it tomorrow.
Ryan, fuck, that's it.
Her pussy contracts around my cock as her orgasm rolls through her. Her legs tense on either side of me, and I hold her in place as she tries to fight it. I don't stop rubbing her clit as she screams out my name and the wave of pleasure hits her hard and fast. My cock throbs inside her and I release, giving her exactly what she was after tonight. She wanted me to mark her and make her mine, no matter how she tries to deny it. When we're both coming down and catching our breath, I rest my forehead against hers and smile. I'm guessing we're skipping the dinner reservations tonight. She looks up at me and gives me a wicked smile. Guess you'll just have to give me something else to eat. I pick her up and carry her into the pool, kissing her neck and breasts. She's my strong, sassy woman, but she melts into a puddle of molten sugar every time I hold her. Later, when we finally get out of the pool and I've fed her, we make slow, sweet love. She promises to never go skinny dipping without me again, but we both know that's a lie. And we are both okay with that. Bonus chapter. Ryan. When Ryan meets Paige. I run my hand through my short hair, grabbing a fistful of it and giving it a little pull. I'm trying to get myself under control. I've been waiting for this moment for what feels like an eternity. Fuck. Maybe my whole life. It's been weeks since I first saw her picture, weeks before I could finally track her down, and days since she spoke to Miles, agreeing to take the job of watching over Mallory. I don't know if I should be proud of myself for coming up with a plan for her to cover Mallory, or pissed. She'd be away from her father, no longer jumping from shelter to shelter. She'd be put up somewhere where she could grow safely, but so far from me. Not easily within my grasp. Thinking about the shelters make me clench my jaw. The first night I'd finally found her, she was walking into one. Hoodie pulled over her head, hiding all that auburn hair. Her backpack strapped tight to her, holding everything she owned. She looked so young, but she carried herself with strength. Some little punk tried to grab a hold of her. She punched him right in the mouth. I smiled at that show of fire. It was nothing compared to what I did to the little prick after she disappeared inside. It was safe to say he wouldn't be fucking with her again. No. No one would. She was going to be sent to a safe haven away from the dirt Miles and I were about to crawl through. My phone goes off, breaking me from my thoughts. I pull it out and read the message. She's coming up. I let out a breath of relief that she's here. Fucking hell. I was still scared she might make a run for it. That she might change her mind about taking Miles' deal to watch over Mallory and I wouldn't be there to stop her. Normally, I tail her. Have been doing it for weeks, but sometimes I have to meet with Miles. Or, like now, I have to be in my office. So I had to put someone on her when I couldn't be there. The same guy I planned to send with her to school. There was no way I could make it without eyes on her constantly. If it was up to me, I change my mind and drag her away from all of it instead of doing what needs to be done for everyone. But if I know one thing, it's that Paige hates her father, and she wants to make him pay. I want to give her that. And it means helping Miles and making sure Paige isn't around to get any of her father's wrath when we start making his world crumble around him. The door swings open as she walks in. She doesn't even bother to knock as the door hits the wall. I'm on my feet instantly as she strolls into the room. Her shoulders are back like she's ready for a fight, and a smile pulls at the corner of my lips. She's wearing a sweater today, with no hood hiding her. Instead, every part of her softness is revealed to me. No matter how hard she tries to hide it, it's right there in her face. Her creamy skin highlighting the little freckles on her upturned nose. Her bright blue eyes shining even brighter against her cool skin. I'm here. Let's do this thing. She puts her hands on her hips, not coming any closer to my desk, but standing in the middle of the room. This is the nearest I've ever been to her. I need more. I want to know what she smells like, branded into my brain before she's once again too far away from me. I give her a smile, trying to hide the fact that I want to leap over my desk and drag her to the floor, that I want to do all the things I've been thinking about doing to her for the past few weeks. It would take me months to get every one of my fantasies, and by then, I'd have created new ones. Have a seat. I waved at the chair in front of my desk. No, I'm good, she shoots back, making no move to come forward. I take a calm breath and move around my desk. I can tell she wants to take a step back. Ryan, I reach my hand out. I should probably tell her to call me Justice. Everyone on Miles' staff does, but I want to hear my name on her lips. Ryan, she says, narrowing her eyes, my hand. I'm Paige. Her palm meets mine, and I wrap my fingers around hers, feeling her soft, delicate skin. She gives a hard squeeze, trying to assert her power, and I have to fight another smile. This little kitten has claws. I like that. I let my finger run along her wrist and soothe the sparks in her eyes. She pulls her hand from mine. So, she snaps. I go back to my desk and grab the folder. You'll check in with me twice a day with full reports on your and Mallory's activity. Mine? Her face scrunches like she doesn't know why I need to know what she's doing every day. I want to tell her, because I don't think I can breathe without knowing. Yes, yours too. She opens her mouth to say something else, but I cut her off. It's not open to negotiation. Her mouth slams shut, and she shoots me a look that I'm sure would kill lesser men. But I'm not a lesser man. I'm her man. All it does is make my cock even harder than when it was when she walked into the room. Sometimes by telephone, and on occasion we can FaceTime. I reach into my pocket, pulling out the phone. This will be on you at all times. There is no exception. I text or call you. You always respond or answer.
What if I'm in class? What if...
I'll know your schedule. I won't call then, I tell her. I watched her jaw clench, but she doesn't say anything. I hand her the file. Everything you need is in here. You leave today. I have to force the words out of my mouth. She grabs the folder, and I don't want to let it go. Her eyes meet mine. Fuck, I can't do this. Something inside me is shaking, trying to break free. I keep chanting to myself that this is what's best for her, that I have to let her go. This is the only way to free her from her father. I have to do so that I can have her. I have to prove that I'm worthy of her. She's full of so much fire and passion, but also a sadness she tries to hide with anger. I release the folder and she pulls it to her chest, still staring into my eyes. I wonder if she knows that she belongs to me, that I belong to her. I can't help myself, and I reach out, touching her cheek softly. There's only a heartbeat of a moment between us, but in that time, it's enough. Enough to last me until I can see her again. I expect her to recoil or to have a sharp comeback, but instead she blinks away our connection as if it never happened. I drop my hand, yet it's still tingling like I placed it on a hot stove. And she turns and leaves without so much as a goodbye. I follow her out of my office and watch her get on the elevator. When she's inside, I turn, running toward the stairs, taking them as fast as I can. When I fly out at the bottom, I see her leaving the building. I quietly trail her until she stops, looking in a window at something. She stands there for a long moment, longer than I expect her to, before shaking her head and moving down the street. I carefully trail behind her until I see my guy at the crosswalk up ahead. He nods at me before following her, taking over his job as her secret guard. I watch her go until I can no longer see even the blurry shape of her silhouette. The longing in my chest is a hollow ache. When I can't stand there any longer, I turn back and go to where she stopped, curiosity getting the best of me. When I look up at the sign, I see it's a jewelry store, and I glance at the display window. My eyes scan the items and stop when I see it. There. Nestled in velvet is a ruby ring almost as beautiful as she is. I take one look, and I know that's it. That's the ring I'm going to put on her finger, or die trying.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of His Alone by Alexa Riley. This program was produced by Dion Audio Services. Executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2017 by author Alexa Riley, LLC. Production copyright 2017 by Harlequin Enterprises, Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books, S.A. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.